AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're rocking and rolling here today.
We are. We're here. I'm here. We made it. There was traffic, but hey, we live in Atlanta.
I caught a coyote this morning on a trap line, and I got mud all over myself, and I did my best to scrub up before I came here. That's actually true.
I hope you have a picture, because I'm trying to expand a little bit of what we do here. Let's put a picture up. Do you have a picture?
I don't think you want to see any of the pictures that I have. The coyote's no longer with us. He passed away because he was visiting some neighborhood cats and things like that, and so I ran a trap line. I do some of that in spare time, but I'll see what I can find. I definitely have something. I'll show you something off air in a little bit. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, folks, that I led you to believe that there would be a picture.
This episode of Honest to God actually has nothing to do with coyotes. Unfortunately, we should do a coyote-centric episode. I'm into that idea.
Okay.
But we've got the next best thing, which is Pierce.
Pierce.
What's up, Pierce?
How are you guys doing? I'm pretty close to a coyote.
You got some totally respectable facial hair.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Did you ever watch the original X-Men movies?
I haven't seen too many of them.
Do you know what I'm getting at?
Is it the facial hair?
No, well, it's Sabretooth. From the Wolverine reboot with Hugh. I mean, it was still Hugh Jackman in the original one.
Okay.
But not from the Wolverine Origins, right? Not that Sabretooth, but the original Sabretooth from the original X-Men. He had long hair, but other than that, like, it's a similar vibe,
which is
a compliment.
Yeah. This should have been my Halloween outfit.
He was a cool guy.
If only I'd known.
You should look it up. Yeah, okay, when you get home today, check out Sabretooth from original X-Men. Yeah.
Gosh, that was way better. I got offered to do the dad bod Thor when he got fat, and that hurt a lot.
Beautiful. I think you need to embrace that, dude.
I did.
Yeah, it's allowed.
I hated it, but I did. I couldn't be the regular Thor, so I had to just had to go for that.
That's awesome. Well, we're gonna talk about all things Pierce today. Super excited. We're doing a conversion story today, which are always my favorite episodes. They're amazing. Check them out. We got a ton of them. I'm sure we'll link all of them in the show notes, just so whoever does that can spend some time working on it. But they really are. They're some of my favorite things that we do. But before we do that, would you mind leading us in prayer?
Yeah, sure. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you, God, for everything that you've done for us that we don't deserve. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for giving us a chance at life and life abundant. I pray that you would help us to honor you and glorify you in all that we say and do. In your name I pray. In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, so I've been told I'm not allowed to grade prayers anymore on air, right? So I'm not going to grade your prayer.
Okay.
But if I were to grade it,
yeah,
that would have been like a solid, like, 93, 94. That was
short,
a killer.
Sweet,
yeah.
Dense.
It's like to the point.
Yeah.
No fallback on. It was like, yeah, I like that a lot.
I grew up in, you know, other circles. Well, I guess we'll get to that. But I got so tired of, like, 30-minute prayers, which was mostly fluff.
Full of lots of we just ask you guys.
Lords. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to keep it, you know, short and sweet.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it. That's great. All right, well, we got three fun facts before we kick off into your conversion.
Okay. So
this is the first time you're ever on air here. Super pumped to have you here. Give us three. They can be about you. They can be about anything.
All right, so the first one's the newest one. I just got back from my first pilgrimage. It was also the first time I left the country. So that was terrifying. I hate planes. And so that was scary. The whole thing was scary.
Where'd you go?
We went to the Camino in
Spain.
We went all the way through the Compostela, the last Compostela. So it was like
awesome.
100. I think we did 140 kilometers.
Right.
And that was great. But
what is that in like real distances?
I know. Right? I think we did almost 90 miles.
Cool.
So, but 140 sounds so
it
much
does
cooler.
Sound cooler.
That's why it also makes you feel more smart that you like know. I don't know kilometers, but it makes me feel like I know.
Yeah.
So we did that. And I used to scream in metal bands. That was my, I can't sing to save my life. So I used try to yell. And
I can kind of see that. Yeah.
I do give that impression, you know. But I did that for a little bit. I named a band after an Arthur Miller play. So we were called the Glass Menagerie.
Nice. And dude, Glass Menagerie, I think, high school last time. But
100%. That's when I did
it. It's a cool name for a metal band, though.
Yeah, if only we were that good. But I mean, the name was killer. The name was super good. Last one, I don't know if you guys know any of the bands like from the 80s. Like, there was a band called the Misfits.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Back in the day,
I know
70s
the t-shirt.
And 80s. Right.
Yeah.
So the vocalist was Glenn Danzig.
Okay.
He has his own project now. And I, at one point in my life, decided it would be appropriate to get a tattoo of him as a baby on my body. So it's on my, he's on my arm right here.
Sweet. That's actually, okay, great.
He was not impressed with that tattoo when I met him. I showed it to him, I think a year ago. And I was like, hey, I got a tattoo 138. And he just looked at me and was like, That wasn't good. That was out.
It's on my body forever, man. I know. Couldn't you have faked some enthusiasm?
I know that was rough, but maybe he just didn't know. It doesn't look like him at all. I didn't get a chance to explain. Just saw a child on my arm. It was like, sick. That's really cool. It's a good idea.
That's
glad
awesome.
Glad you did that.
Those were three really good fun facts.
They
I
were.
Like that.
Were
sweet, sweet.
I like how concise Pierce is. I like how it's you got a lot of meanderers.
Yeah.
And we're going to meander a lot in this interview today, sure. Right? We're going to go in all the weeds. I'm like, that's my job, basically. I was saying before we got on air, I'm not a host. I'm a moderator. I just ask questions. People are more interesting than I am. So we're going to go off into all the stuff. But I like the precision.
Yeah,
the language.
I do, too. Our dear listeners really want to hear some of your screamo, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we're going to try and talk them into it. Comment down below if you want to hear it by the end of the episode. Because we're filming live right now.
Every
from, I don't know, where are we now? Because I never know. I'm blindfolded, as
no,
you know.
No, I'm surprised you don't know where we are, right? We're right beneath Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and it is the day before the election, November 4th, and I'm going to make a prediction right now. Wait, November 5th? What's today's date? I forget. Anyway, I think Donald Trump wins in a landslide. I think he takes all the swing states. Yeah.
Well, that's a big...
I'm going to give him Nevada.
Do too. You think he takes the popular vote? Because then I have a huge...
So that's tough.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay.
I'm going to go with yes. I'm going to go with the Senate is... we get about 53 senators. Okay. And Republicans take the House, too. I'm going to go with a sweep, guys.
Well, then...
Wow.
Let's assume that Donald Trump does win the popular vote and the electoral. Then my fun fact is that every single president since 1888 has won the popular vote and the electoral college. Not every single election, but every single president since 1888 has won the electoral college and the popular vote.
Not necessarily at the same
Donald
time.
Donald Trump, who we haven't found out. Well, there was...
Because Bush won popular vote one time and electoral vote.
In 2004, but in 2000, he lost the popular vote. So he was the only president in that century.
Right.
Or well, I guess not even that's in the, that was the first of that century.
And assuming he wins tonight, right? J.D. Vance will be the first vice president to have facial hair, vice president or president, in some ridiculous amount of time.
Right.
I was listening to that the other day.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Just, you know, you might want to place some bets out there. If, hopefully you don't screw up the airtime of this and this isn't in a pair in a couple months after the election. But, yeah.
Yeah. You know, chances are this probably will be next year, and you'll already know. And then we will find out if that fun fact can stay.
We'll see.
Since 1888.
I'm dying on that hill. All right. So I'm ready to just jump in. These Convergence Story episodes, I tend to want to have way more time than we actually have because they really are. I get super excited about it. I just think they're neat, right?
Yeah.
And I want to start by saying I don't know Pierce from anyone else. We met for the first time 20 minutes ago, maybe back in the green room.
Right.
Know nothing about you. Don't know your mama. Don't know where you grew up. I know literally nothing other than you got a tattoo of that guy from the Misfits as a baby on your arm. You just hiked the El Camino, that's a car.
That's right.
Shout out to Spencer Freeman. I went to high school with him. He had an El Camino. But other than your fun facts, I know nothing about you. So I want to start like real basic.
Sure.
Pierce, where were you born? Where'd you grow up? Tell us about early itty bitty baby Pierce.
Sure. I grew up in Metro Atlanta area. So I was pretty much here my whole life.
Okay.
Besides college a little bit. Grew up in a Protestant household. So like my mom was very religious. My dad wasn't so much. My dad was from Germany. And so
he's from Germany. Like
yeah, he's
Germany.
From, oh, wow. I think Mannheim is where he's from. You think I would know that. I think it's Mannheim.
Sure.
But yeah, he came over here and was just not too religious at all.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I found out later he was baptized Catholic, but I had no idea. He had barely a clue that he was, you know, baptized Catholic. He couldn't tell you the Apostles' Creed, couldn't tell you anything about that.
Sure.
So not really religious on his end, but my mom was the spiritual leader. And so we kind of grew up in this weird, what she would call like Bapticostal family.
Okay.
Where she had very Pentecostal charismatic roots. And we would oftentimes go to one of those, you know, that or like a Baptist church. From there, I went to private school my whole life, private Christian school. Mm-hmm. And it was interdenominational. So I would learn about God, learn about religion. And I was a nerd about it because it was just easy, fun facts that I liked. I never really knew too much about.
Are you okay name dropping the school?
Sure. It's closed down now. It's called Airway Christian Academy.
Okay.
So they closed down this year. But yeah, it was a great school. I went there most of my years, like other than kindergarten, I think. And yeah, we learned about a lot of stuff regarding the faith, but I never really learned anything that was going to practically speak to me.
So you said your mom gave you the She what is the tongue-in-cheek label, you said?
The Bapticostal.
Yeah. So what did that actually look like? Was there any sort of a coherent theology when you were little, like growing up in the house?
It was very, very basic. So we would believe that, you know, you can't lose your salvation, which was more of the Baptist leaning, the once saved, always saved idea. And then we also believed in the spiritual gifts being like alive and active. So, tongues and prophecies and all the charismatic gifts. So we went to a place where she had both of those plus really good music. That was her that was her shtick. That was her doctrines of faith, was good music, good drums, and then speaking in tongues, and then once saved, always saved. So we found a church that was like that, and we pretty much stuck there until I was probably like 17 or 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
My wife's family, they were part of the Charismatic Catholic Renewal, and so they did all the tongues and rest in the spirit and all of that. And I might have told the story on the air before, but I remember the first time I ever went to Mass with her family, and I didn't really know. I knew there was something weird that was Catholic, but like I knew it counted, but I didn't really know what to expect. And I remember I was still sort of like moving into my conversion, like become, like really owning the faith. And so I was like hyper reverent, really scrupulous. And so I'm there during the consecration, and all these people start speaking in tongues. But what I hear is like, okay, it's like elevation of Christ, the most important part of the Mass. And all these people all of a sudden just breaking out into conversations. Like, what is this guy talking about? What's he doing? Hey, I gotta go to the bathroom. Did you see the game last night? And I was super scandalized and had to like, what the heck was that,
babe? Right.
With my wife afterwards. But anyway, all that is to say, I kind of dig the Pentecostals. I think there's some really, I mean, 1,000%. The Holy Spirit's there, man. Yeah. He's working there.
We went last Easter together. I went to I made sure I did the Easter vigil the day before on Saturday night so I could be there with her on Easter Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And it was a throwback. Like, you get so hyped being there. It's a really good service, and they're all like super passionate.
It's a big emotional experience.
Yeah, in a way, I like in a way that they're not as, I would say, theologically academic as most of the high church denominations of Protestantism or Catholicism, but they still have this very like genuine, almost innocent love for God, and that's super respectable. Like, it's something that's beautiful. I just didn't have, that I craved to have, that I really didn't get until my conversion. But yeah, that's where we grew up with that.
So growing up, was it every Sunday? Y'all were fairly religious.
Every Sunday.
I mean, and did Dad come too?
Yeah, Dad came too. Yeah, he had no problem with it. He was, I would say he would say he was nominally Christian.
Right.
As to what his relationship would be individually, I just don't think it was present.
Right.
I remember when I got to college, it was a Bible college I was going to go to. He told me that he had read the Bible for like the first time ever by himself, just because he was kind of excited about my path that I was going to do.
Cool. Right.
And so that was really cool, yeah.
So growing up little bitty Pierce, before we start to have our frontal lobe form and chemicals and adolescence and all this stuff start going on, you had a really strong faith life growing up at home with Mom and Dad.
Sure, 100%. She was constantly praying for me, constantly told me, what important things that she thought there were in the church, what to believe in, and how to discern that, I guess, for a kid, because you don't have as much issues going on when you're 3, 4, 5, and 6. So it was really cool. I always knew that that Christ was God, and that he loved me, and the core tenets that I think that any kid should have of the knowledge of God. We didn't have catechism class or anything, but it was the closest we could come to what we, what I would, I think, have done for my kids.
Big shout out to all the moms, just desperate, like working overtime.
She's awesome. She's awesome.
Yeah, moms are the best.
Yeah. She is.
That's so great. Okay, so when you grow up, and you said you were at the same school from like kindergarten all the way through high school?
Yeah, essentially, absolutely. I think from elementary on, I was at Airway.
Okay. And did you have sort of your obligatory angsty teenage years?
Yeah, but even then I was still like a softie. I mean, we were at a private Christian school, so the most angsty kids there couldn't make it in public school a day, So despite all that, I was super active and athletic, super active inside the school. Mm-hmm. I would say the teachers liked me. I liked them. I was friends with pretty much, anybody that I could be friends with. So I just dressed like I do now, just like dark clothes, and I looked back then. I flat ironed my hair. That was the only mistake. I think that was really it's a mortal sin that I used to make. Was flat ironing my hair.
I used to have the shoulder length hair.
Yeah,
I was killing it. Circa 2005. Man. We should pull up some pictures of that.
I love it.
Killer jean shorts, man.
Yes.
Oh, it was cool.
The jorts got to come back. Got to come back.
Dude, it's been too long.
I think whoever wins this presidency should bring George back. We don't know yet, right?
But should make it a legal requirement.
That's right.
I would love to see Secret Service with
that'd
the jorts.
Be, Yeah. I don't think we'd see any more shooters, even try. Secret Service agents.
Too intimidated by the jorts. So during middle school, high school, you didn't have sort of a falling away at all of the faith? There was not a...
No, I still think I didn't even have like a true knowledge other than just Bible knowledge. We believed it to be true. There's nothing that was like personal to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you felt the spirit, so to speak, when you're at these Pentecostal churches. But nothing really became real until... I was 17. I believe it was 17. My dad's best friend passed away. And that was the first like person close to my age. He was a younger guy that worked with my dad. And when he passed away, everything changed where I wanted to find answers to like what happens when you die. And I wanted to find loopholes because he didn't seem like he was Christian and it scared me. Right. So that's when I started to take faith seriously and like read to find out what it said versus just like what facts there were about scripture.
So going a little before that, from a theological standpoint, and I want to get into what happened when you started to dig in, but you talked about sort of this once saved, always saved theology. I mean, was it pretty by the book, like hitting the solas of Protestantism? Sola Scriptura, sola fide?
She wasn't in any way close to like a reformer, so she had no idea. She didn't even know who like Martin Luther was, John Calvin was. So no solas were like included in that. Okay. We didn't believe in anything with Latin at all.
Man,
so,
if we can only hope that one day no one will know who Martin Luther and John Calvin
are. That's right. That's right. Except for the fiction category, maybe. I don't know.
But like, that'd be cool.
No disrespect. But yeah, I think that we had just bare bones, like the once saved, always saved, in the sense that God owns you. The devil doesn't now, so you don't have to worry about that. But it wasn't a ticket to live bad. It was just one of those kind of like, I think, monikers you put on yourself. Like, I am God, so now I'm going to live like that. And
so when were you baptized?
I was baptized three times.
Okay, just in case.
That's right, just in case. And the first time was our bad. We both went to this revival. I got baptized there. My mom watched that. We were all crying. And then because I didn't speak in tongues, they said it didn't count. So as we dug deeper into that church, they were a Unitarian church, not a Trinitarian.
Oh, so it didn't count in real life.
No,
it was
not a
triune baptism.
A valid baptism. Yeah, it was not good.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, so once she found that out, she told me, she's like, hey, that was my mistake.
Bad news.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. And so that was good because I was still confused as to why I wasn't considered saved by them. There's a lot of weird stuff in that revival that day. It was a bit of a, I would say, a cult. I don't know. And so then my second baptism was a little bit older at the church that we always went to. Mm-hmm. From my understanding, it still wasn't the right.
Oh, really?
It was just in the name of Jesus not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right. So the third and final time I got baptized, I was an adult and I got baptized at a Calvinist, Reformed Baptist church. Right. And they did do it the proper way. So they did accept that on my resume when I was coming into to the Catholic church. I did get that one to count. So I got my first real baptism as an adult.
Cool.
Yeah. But the other two, I guess, were just practice. So.
That's interesting. I only ask because I've talked to a number of ex-Protestants who would talk about being rebaptized and then later on coming into the Catholic Church and realizing, oh, no, I was baptized when I was 11. Like, I've been originally washed away a long time ago, and the rest were just sort of performative. But you actually, the last one was the only one that counted. That's neat.
Okay. Absolutely. I had no idea. And thankfully, we had proof. We had video evidence of this baptism because I was just like, I'm not sure anymore if any of my baptisms were valid. And we had it on video. So I got to provide proof. And my mom was a witness. So we got to sign off on that. Yeah.
That's really cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you've also had multiple baptisms, comment those baptisms down below. Talk about this. I'm really interested. We're trying to get this view up. I want to see this be the most popular video that we have on YouTube. Right.
Even
now.
Better than 100%. Our friends over in the subcontinent?
Well, that's going to be hard to follow. But yes, we do have one video that's getting more views than any of our others combined. So that one might be tough. But our most popular video.
No, don't let your dreams be dreams, Julian. This one needs to be the most popular one. Fine. The heck with Bollywood movies. This one is going to be the best one. I do want to throw this out there real quick just to any listeners who aren't aware, right? When he was talking about the Unitarian baptism versus the Trinitarian baptism, right? A baptism, the sacrament of baptism is only valid if it is done in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, right? Which is why the Catholic Church doesn't accept baptisms in, say, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or the Jehovah's Witnesses. Right, because they don't believe in a triune God. Yeah. Just to clear that up for anybody who's listening.
I love it.
At home. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you're 17 years old, right? End of high school. Other than wearing some black and whatever, you're not. You're still you consider yourself a Christian.
Sure. Yeah.
Praise God, dude. Praise God for not falling apart as a embarrassing high schooler, right?
That's right.
Like
that's
I did, like so many other people do.
I kept all my dignity until after high school. Then that's when it started to fall apart.
Great.
But up until high school, I was killing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your father's friend dies.
He passes away. You know, they had a hard, you know, line of duty. They were both public servants, but he passed away just at his house from a random happenstance. He passed away of a seizure and nobody was there. So that wrecked me because he was the first guy that I ever saw kind of close to my age pass away. I wanted to find anything I could to find some kind of loopholes in scripture. And as I started to read scripture for the first time with like a reason to, other than just to know Bible knowledge for like a test or whatever, it became more clear to me that this was something that I needed to pay attention to.
Right.
And then I started to read books or chapters like, you know, Romans 8, Romans 9, that started to confuse me from what I thought that I knew growing up.
Interesting. Yeah,
and I did what any scholar would do. I Googled it.
Obviously.
And immediately I found John Piper giving a lecture over John Calvin and the Tulip. And that made the most sense I'd ever heard before. Because this was the most academic that I'd ever seen Christianity was Calvinism.
Right.
And I was like, well, if this is... this kind of makes sense. I'm getting older. I want to like make this more of a real thing. It's not only emotionally true, but it's got to be like, you know, head knowledge as well. And I want to explore that. And so I thought right there, this makes the most sense. I've never heard anything more clear and I want to become Calvinist. So I became Calvinist and my parents were like, I don't know what that is, but congrats.
Oh, that's cool. Your parents were very much like, hey, you're still on the team.
They could care less. They were like, we support you, you're still on the team. Exactly. You're not saying Mormon or Jehovah's Witness. We're not
or
too
Catholic.
Much. Or Catholic, exactly. Yeah. So there was no concern at the time with that. And then that's when I really became, I would say, desirous to follow God in the way that I thought was best, which was Calvinism.
Have you graduated high school at this point?
I was just getting towards the end.
Okay.
And as fate would have it, one of the colleges, I was playing baseball. I was playing basketball too, barely. Like I'm taller, so I played, but I barely played. You know, I wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But baseball, I was pretty okay at. And so I got a scholarship opportunity to play for a Calvinist college. Mm-hmm. So with that.
I didn't even know there were Calvinist colleges.
There's a few. You'd be surprised. Yeah. They're pretty small, like my high school was. They're like smaller private schools.
Yeah.
But Calvinist College recruited me, and I thought, oh, this is like 100% what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to go there, play baseball, and then become a pastor. Because I was like, that's what I need to do. And so I got the scholarship, accepted it, went over to the college, and started studying biblical and theological studies from a Calvinist perspective with, I think my minor was called ancient languages. So it was like Koine and Aramaic and that's a little bit of Latin, a little bit. Not too much, because they weren't Catholic.
No.
They don't like that too much. But yeah, I started studying that. And that's where I thought my life would lead. I thought I was going to become like meet some girl at this college, you know, freshman year, decide to get married right then and then become a pastor with a pastor's wife and live happily ever after. And that just did not happen at all.
Okay. What did happen?
What happened is I found out about partying. I found out about adulthood and like making my own decisions and I made poor decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So baseball was fun. I really enjoyed my Bible classes. That was the only classes I ever showed up to was like my Greek class or my homiletics course or whatever. I liked those. I could have cared less about the left and right of my other classes with like liberal arts. I just did not care about taking badminton for a semester or taking you know economics. I could not care less about that.
Was it a solid college outside of the theology
100%.
Department? Was it a good? I mean,
there was even I think our arts department was super well known, super revered. I just could not have cared. I realized once I was outside of my family telling me what to do, telling me to make sure I had my homework done, I just would not do my homework. Totally. I would do anything I could about what I liked, but nothing else. So I just let that slip to the side. When baseball wasn't in season, when we weren't playing, I would decide to go ahead and go down to the colleges in Chattanooga and party out there with like the public colleges.
Right.
And over time that started to kind of become more of my cycle than going to class or working my job or playing baseball. So that was a big... It was a slow decline, about 3 years.
That's what I was going to ask. This is all freshman year, or this was over the course of your first year?
It took 3 years. I think right at the midway point of my junior year is when I properly was... they were like, you know, either be kicked out or you can leave politely. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, I'll leave. Yeah, at that point, I had a minor... I had two toe surgeries at the same time for something that had happened in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I got prescribed... I think it was hydros or oxycodone.
Yep.
Either way, I'd never taken it before. I found out later that I would really love these drugs. And I was already dabbling in some minor stuff, just drinking whenever I could, smoking whatever I wanted to. But the pills really got to me on that. So from there, I just, a few months of my life are kind of swept. I don't remember them. And the next thing I know, my car is completely booted on every tire. I had been like fighting with the safety and security there, making sure I didn't park at the right spots. And then I would move it right when I had to move it and they would get mad at me. So I would threaten them. They threatened me and they caught me once. They wrapped my car up. I couldn't get in. I had like $2,000 of parking tickets and everyone was pretty sure that I was not doing okay. My roommates never saw me. My parents never heard from me. So,
yeah, so that's, that's what I was going to ask is, did you, would you still consider yourself a Christian at this point?
At that point, I would say I didn't think much about it, but I, if you'd asked me, I'd have probably said yeah.
Like, so how did that happen? It's just slowly from freshman year, you became less and less interested and more interested in all the things of the
I grew disenfranchised with how the school worked because I didn't like the, I guess, the establishment there. I was trying to, that's when my angsty stage came in. I was like, why are they telling me what to do? I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want. And because I didn't look like them, I didn't act like the college. And they were all very nice people. I just didn't look like that or act like that. I felt ostracized and was more just myself distancing from how they looked.
Oh, there's nothing better than getting a wallow in your own victimhood.
100%.
I've done that before.
It felt so good at
the
time.
It was so fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so, it's so lame looking back. But at the time, man, it just seems like the best idea.
Right. So that, that kind of slowly just snowballed. And over time, I just distanced myself further and further. And when... I guess my rock bottom hit is when my parents were called up, which is never something you want as an adult in college for them to be like, we have to call you. Like,
mommy
he's
and
not,
daddy have to come now.
Right. Yeah. He's not doing well. You got to come up here. And they saw that my car was like pretty much cemented to the ground. They're like, he cannot move this unless he pays the tickets right now. And so then I was like, yeah, I'm going to head out. I'm going to leave. It's probably best. And had to pay for the tickets over a few months.
Right.
And then I just began like kind of spiraling at home. There was no
So you went back home after that?
Yeah, I lived on my parents' couch for like 2 months
and continued to kind of have the same lifestyle.
I didn't even move from the couch. I was just depressed, stayed on the couch, drank whatever I could, ate whatever I could. I did not move. They would just bring me down like pizza. I would do nothing, just a full schlub.
Oh, this is like
did
the
nothing.
Rock bottom.
It was horrible.
Rock bottom. I've got a
really
great
bad.
Image in my head of this.
It was
right
bad
now.
It was bad. And I didn't do anything. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, we're at about a minute.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So I don't want to get too much into the weeds of what you're going to talk about because this is a great time for a cliffhanger. I'm going to pass it on to John Henry. But real quick, if you are listening while you're driving, I want you to pull over right now and go onto YouTube and type in Honest to God, and that is Honest to, the number two, not T-O, God, and subscribe. And then take the time to like this video and put a comment down below of what you think is going on. Also, if you're listening on one of our podcasts around and you have a radio station in mind that may could cover us, we're trying to expand, send us an email at youngadults@thequestatlanta.com.
Heck yeah. And while you're at it on your Spotify's and your Apple podcast, go ahead and give us a 5-star review. Say something nice about Pierce, your producer, Julian over here. They've put in a lot of hard work. They're the real talents. I'm just a pretty face. No, but this is awesome, Pierce. I'm super excited. I'm like, once again, I have no idea what's going on. I can't wait to find out what happens after the break. With that in mind, we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Excuse me. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Stay tuned.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Still rocking and rolling with Bruce and Julian, tickling keys.
Pushing buttons.
Taking names over there. Look at them go.
Yeah, I have something I'm going to put in, and we should have talked about this on the break, so this is a surprise to you two, and I'm sorry. I want to know what kind of negative teaching about Mary that you may have received growing up in the Protestant church environment, because I'm getting into a lot of disagreements with Protestants, because there's a lot of stuff about Mary surfacing, because there's 2 or 3 movies coming out this year.
Right.
And on X, there's some major disagreements. I had somebody today tell me that the Marian apparitions were compared to Bigfoot sightings.
Huh.
because he said, what's the proof that she's alive? And I said, how about all of these Marian apparitions that 1.9 billion Catholics believe in? So I want to know.
Yeah, super interesting.
Yeah. I want to hear from our former Protestant.
Yeah. Do you have any good, like, before we get into the conversion part of the story, which I assume is coming up?
Sure.
Is
that
right? Do you have any good, like, sort of major misconceptions about the Catholic Church that you were brought up with?
Was 1,000%. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Even just from ignorance, like, we never learned, out of all the things I learned in my college, which was, you know, very vast, like, we learned about Islam, learned about Mormonism, and I never once had heard anything about Catholicism. We just always were taught that they were the goofy sect because they prayed the dead people.
Right.
And so, of course, the first thing I always thought was that Mary was dead. Like, sure, she was in heaven, but that doesn't mean anything, even though that doesn't make sense.
Lots of dead people up there.
Right. It just meant nothing. It didn't make sense to me, which it's still, like, looking back now was clueless. You know, like, they're in heaven, so they're more alive than we are.
Right.
But we always thought that Mary was as dead as the rest of the saints, you know, whoever those were. And that, yeah, kind of we fall naturally into, like, what is it, Nestorianism?
Mm-hmm.
The heresy that, like, Jesus is not God, but he is God. Because when, like, somebody like John MacArthur will say, Mary is not the mother of God.
Right.
Well, that negates Jesus himself as the incarnate Trinity.
Sure.
You know, so that is a weird thing we just always held to. It was like, yeah, Mary can't be the mother of God because God came first.
So how do you get into the whole, like, how do you discuss Western civilization without bringing up the Catholic Church?
You just like to call, you call people proto-evangelicals or proto-Protestants.
Stop.
Like, we always, my patron saint's Saint Augustine, because that was the Calvinist favorite saint.
Right.
They loved him because he was Calvinist. Like, of course, you couldn't see it.
Obviously.
Yeah. So people like him, obviously Paul was a Calvinist as well. But yeah, we had a few people in the early church that they would cling to, and Augustine was the main one. So I had his confessions for years.
Did you read it?
I did. I loved
it.
I never once caught on that he was a bishop of some random church.
Right, yeah.
I had no idea. but yeah, I was like, oh yeah, just was a smart guy that was smarter than the rest of the church back then because they were all completely wrong. And that made sense to me. I never dug deeper.
That's so okay. And I want to get into all of that, sort of uncovering that as we move forward. But I think where we last left off, you're literally in a basement having to move back home with mom and dad and not moving from a couch, except I assume to go to the bathroom.
That was it.
Great.
And so that was about a year or so of kind of just being nothing. And then I get my job back from back home when I was like coming out of high school. And I start to pick my life up, but I'm still hanging with the wrong people. I worked at places that just weren't the best. So I always had people that were ready to party and do drugs. So we were always just doing that.
Right.
And that kind of stayed the same until I think COVID shut down all the jobs that I worked at.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get the most consistent job that would not shut down no matter what. So I became a mailman. I knew that they would never shut down.
Cool.
So short shorts and everything. I had to show off my thigh tattoo, you know, those short shorts.
Yeah.
And I became a mailman, and it was there that right as COVID was like in the peak, I guess, where nobody could do anything, you still had to wear a mask everywhere. You couldn't do anything you wanted to, and flights were cheap. During that time, a guy at the post office named DJ, he was an older guy, probably I think 40s or 50s, so older than me, not older guy. And he was talking to me about politics and about theology. And one day he's like, hey, you should come to church with me. And I was like, nah, I don't like live out here. I work here and I live out here. He's like, no, I live, you know, out here. I got a church out here. I was like, oh, that's where I live.
Were you going to church at home at this point? Okay.
No, not at all.
Not since college.
Actually, one time I tried to go to a Catholic church during the start of COVID because I was freaking out. And I just knew that they'd probably be open. That's just what I figured was that they're always open somehow in all the movies. They're always like the doors unlocked. So I was like, let me just go there. And it wasn't their fault and it wasn't my fault. I don't know if this is a normal thing that happened during COVID, but now I know that there's holy water when you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
You'll, you know, dip in there. You remind yourself of the baptism, you know, the covenant. They didn't have that because of COVID. You didn't want to touch the water. So they had a lady that was sprinkling people. I didn't know what that was.
Okay.
So I walked in. She swung something at me. I dodged it. She kind of laughed. And I was like, what are you doing? And then she did it again. So I dodged it.
Oh, okay.
And I just walked out. I was like, there's no, I'm not going in here. I don't know what that was. So that was my first attempt at going back to church during COVID.
I'm just proud of that church for being open. Don't get me started.
Yeah, 100%.
How frustrating it is to me that our church is closed. So many of the churches closed down during COVID. I think that's scandalous, but that's another episode.
Completely agree. And so after that, I go to visit this guy's church and he says, yeah, one thing about it though, I don't know if you know what this is. I'm a Calvinist. I'm like, oh, well, that's actually what I used to be. So that should be perfect. I went there and my family heard that I was coming, so they immediately were like, oh, Pierce is going to church. He's doing something productive. Like, we're going to go support him. None of them were Calvinist. They were still the Baptist hostels, They didn't know what Calvinism was, but they're like, we're going to go and support him. So the minute I show up, my whole mom's side is there. Like my aunt, my niece, my nephew, my sister, brother.
They had no idea.
I'm like, all right, sweet. Yeah. And so now I can't back out. And when I was there is when I felt, I think for the first time, a true conviction that like my life needed to change. Mm-hmm. I was an adult. I was making bad decisions. It wasn't just God was some thing that I had to do for a good grade. I began to feel convicted that I should change. So during that time, I broke up with my drug dealers and the girls that I had on my phone.
Great.
And I blocked them. Then I deleted the number so I couldn't retract my decision to block. They were just in the ether. Couldn't find them anymore. And I got baptized there. That was the real baptism. I got baptized there.
Well, how fast does all this happen?
I got baptized probably 3 months in. Okay. And I mean, after I think maybe two or three times going to the church and seeing my family there and then feeling how genuine these people were. It was very smart, very academic, you know, church. They were very good. All the elders were super smart, way smarter than me. I decided to like, this is where I need to go. I need to actually change. This is my chance. I was doing a lot of stuff that I needed to drop. And so I did. And I got baptized there, began starting like doing leadership stuff with them. I started to volunteer and everything I could was doing their college classes through Midwestern Seminary. Like I was trying to like really immerse myself. And I liked that I had some Calvinist knowledge from my college. That was the only thing I ever studied and actually paid attention to. Right. So I was super involved in about 2 years into being a member there, active and there every day, is when a guy that looked a lot like me, had a backstory like me, was like, hey, there's this group chat on Facebook Messenger from people around our area, and it's a few Catholic guys trying to like have proper debates with like Anglicans and like reverends from like the Episcopal Church, and then like some Pentecostals are in there, like, let's go and mess them up with our Calvinism. I was like, all right, let's do it. Like I'm like academically inclined. Yeah. He's coming in with the fire. We're going to destroy them and we're going to see what happens. And it just did not.
I want to hear all about this.
Did not work out for
us. Can you please like get into some specifics on what happened in the attempted group chat?
100%.
Like infiltration. I'm all about that.
Yeah, so we go in there, and I turned out in my days where I was mostly not sober, I knew a few of these guys from times where they were not sober either. Mm-hmm. Like we used to hang out and party at the same places, and we were all inside of these dumb, you know, political radical movements. We were all inside these dumb drug dens, essentially.
Yeah.
And these guys had all converted. They all have like wives and kids now, and they all look really nice. And I hated that. I was like, what are you doing? Like, this is horrible. Like, look cool. Like, right. You know, what happened to your cool tattoos and everything? So I was super mad about that. And we came in, my buddy just starts going off. Like, you know, this is hellish. You guys are going to hell because you're not Christians. You're Catholics.
This is always a cult. The best way to open the dialogue.
Yeah. And 100%. I would come in like as the good cop. Like, let me hear you guys out. And I knew that I was going to just destroy them, decimate them with my knowledge because, you know, the Catholics were crazy. They were stupid. They didn't know their scriptures.
What could they know?
They don't even read the Bible.
Never.
And they so lovingly did not let any of our stuff affect them. Like, I was saying, like, Mariolatry. I'm like, you guys are idolizing Mary. That's what I believed. I believed if you prayed to Mary that was because you worshipped her. Mm-hmm. So I was just saying horrible things. And keep in mind, I was always, because of my college, I was more Presbyterian Calvinist. So I leaned towards, like, paedobaptism. But the Confession of Faith from the Westminster Confession, I think to this day, says that the Pope is the Antichrist. Like, they make no bones about what they don't like.
Right.
They do not like the church, and they do believe that the Catholic Church is not a part of Christendom.
All right, listen, I'm sorry. This is a little, maybe, I don't know, off-brand or off-topic. I kind of like it. I kind of appreciate the fire. No, I do. I keep getting the whole, there's so much of this, like, almost relativistic whatever that you're hearing coming from your mega churches and your Brownsburg. I kind of like somebody who's going to stand up there and say, nope, you're going to hell. Whore Babylon, whole church, Pope's the Antichrist, forget you guys. And, you know, they're wrong. I disagree. I think that's terrible, right? There could be more wrong. But I like the fire a little bit. You can work with the fire. Christ worked with the fire, right?
That's true.
Hot or cold, lukewarm's going to get spewed from my mouth. So I kind of dig it.
No kidding. And it worked for me because I came in saying the same things. I was being as respectful as I could, but I'm like, you guys just simply aren't Christians. Like, obviously, you know, look at all the guys that I believe in and all of my little popes. And so I would talk to them. And over time, I kept getting mad because they would just shut me down so easily. And again, they were not mad. They weren't arguing. They were very formal and like debating back and forth. And that made me infuriated. I'd never had lost a debate in my head.
Give me an example.
I would talk to them about how they worshiped Mary.
Right. Okay.
And how Mary was dead. And they said, well, she's not because she's in heaven. So she's more alive now than we ever are here.
Right.
And I was like, okay, fair point. But like, you don't get to pray to her. You know, you can't just see that in scripture. They go, well, actually, if you had all the canon, you could see in Maccabees, people do pray for the dead.
Yeah.
And why would they do that if they're dead? Like, if their souls are forever either sealed or damned, why are you praying for them?
Right.
I was like, well, I mean, good point, but I don't know. Something about that's wrong. So then that made me start going into church fathers, like starting to study, like
trying to beat these guys.
100%. I'm going to pull up Augustine, and he's going to show me that he was
clearly going to vindicate the Calvinist position.
He was going to be that proto-evangelical the entire time. Yeah. And so whenever I started to read into that is when I began to feel more and more pressured into believing that maybe they were right about a few things. Mm-hmm. And when I started to be more accepting is when they started to ask me questions and kind of turn it on me instead of me just confronting them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're back on, John Henry. We had a little bit of a break because of some technical difficulties, but we can get right back into it.
Sorry, no worries. I want to jump right back into to right where you were saying. I think where you had last left off, you said that the more like you softened, the more they started to throw some things out there at you and start to kind of poke holes and ask you questions. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about going back to the early church fathers and the proto-Calvinists like your Augustine.
Yeah, like Augustine. Yeah, so they asked me questions that really, really got me. The two main ones were, you know, you believe that the reformers revived the what should have been the real church in the 1500s. So what church existed before that? And I was like, well, I mean, obviously the Catholic Church and I guess like the Orthodox and some of those, you know, Syrian, whatever, like the Catholic was the main one. And they said, so was it just wrong for 1500 years? And I said, yeah, I guess so. They said, that's what the Mormons believe. They believe that the church was completely missing and wrong until Joseph Smith. So you just have like a Joseph Smith that you believe in. And I didn't like that at all.
That's really good. I like that.
It was really good. It got me. So I was like, I don't like that. I don't think Mormons are right. But like, what basis do I have to believe that my guy is right over them? Other than sola scriptura, and I can't really justify this anymore because the church fathers aren't adding up with what I think scripture taught. So I was super confused. And then the second question was, do you think that sola scriptura is right? And I said, yes. They said, well, if that's the case, then why do you have less books than we do? And my answer would have been, oh, because it wasn't supposed to be there. They said, why? So then I began to look in what the church believed the canon
Martin
was.
Martin Luther said so.
Yeah. And I had no idea that, I mean, from around the 300s in one of the first councils, we had a
Carthage, right?
Ephesus or Carthage, something like that. But it was a council that gave us the entire canon that the Catholic Church still holds to.
Right.
That they did like dogmatically signify in the Council of Trent. Council of Trent as a response to the Reformation. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like they came up with those books in the 1500s. They just said, no, just to clarify from all that's going on right now, we've always believed that these were the books.
Right.
And so I go, well, how can I justify being sola scriptura if I'm taking out books of the scripture? Mm-hmm. And what do those books teach? And, you know, why did Luther decide to get rid of these and what was going on at that time? So the more I dug in, the more and more I was convinced, I don't think these reformers were actually right on all these things. And I just slowly became more and more convinced that these Catholics had something, but I wasn't willing to let it go. I still didn't want to believe that the Pope was the guy that I had to have authority under. I didn't want to believe that Peter was the first Pope. I didn't want to believe any of that because it was kind of a pride issue at this point, which totally. I think it always is when you get to a certain knowledge academically of Christianity. I do believe it's ultimately a pride issue as if you want to accept the authority and submission to Rome, which is the authority that God gave.
And is that what you think is sort of the tipping point? Because you hear again and again where you'll have Protestants who will say, I'll flip around. I'll go to 10,000 different denominations of Protestantism, but I'm not about to swim across that Tiber because that's a bridge too far.
100%. I think I had this conversation with a girl that I was dating that wasn't a Christian, and she believed in this New Age religion that she liked. And I said, isn't it ironic that it almost always seems that when you pick and choose your own religion, your God always tends to look like you.
Right.
Like everybody's God looks like them. Yeah. And it's like, I just don't think that God is going to look like me. I think he's much better than me.
Right.
So it's weird that you can like church hop and church shop for a church that most fits you when the whole point is like you're supposed to fit into what God says you should be.
Right.
And that's when I finally was like, I need to kind of collapse this pride that I have. And if this is the church, if Christ is really present there, I need to go there and just submit to that instead of wanting this church to look like me or to believe in what I believe in. Like, right. I do not want innately an authoritative figure over me, but I can't really avoid that. Like, if God is over me, I have to be under him. And if he selects people to be over his church, I need to be submitted to them.
Right.
So Blake and I, at this point, were, this is my buddy that was trying to shoot with me and trying to collapse these Catholics. We finally said, let's just go to a mass and let's just see how goofy it is. Cause I'm sure that they're right about these things now. But I'm sure that we can go there and see how crazy
poke this. A bunch of holes,
100%. Right. Like, we're just going to see them chanting nonsense and like doing these weird things that have nothing to do.
The holy water thing
they
again.
Might hit me again with the holy water. And so we go to my parish now, and it's in it's called Christ the King, our Cathedral of Christ the King. We go there. During this time, I'd been praying St. Patrick's Breastplate because I really started to fall in love with these prayers from these early church fathers.
Oh, so cool.
And okay. I loved it. I loved it so much. I wasn't willing to pray to what I thought was dead people yet.
Right.
I was like, but I will pray their prayers because they were pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And I've been there for two years and some change mm-hmm. now. And I've never heard this again. But the first thing they sang at this Mass Saturday night was St. Patrick's Breastplate.
Awesome.
And I just started crying. We were in the back. Right. We were going to make no noise. We were dressed like I am now, just completely not at all like we're going to Mass.
Yeah.
And I started just crying. And Blake has no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. He's like, what's happening? He's like, I think that I'm going to become Catholic.
Right then.
And yeah, I was like, this is
30 seconds into
this
the first
is
Mass.
Pretty scary that this is the one thing that I was praying and that they're singing this. And that night is when I realized that everything in Mass is completely oozing with Scripture. Right. Every part of it is Scripture. Every part of it that we say back in the Mass, in the liturgy, everything that the priest says, everything that they do is quoting or referencing Scripture. And it blew my mind. So that point, I asked the priest afterwards. I did not know how to confront a priest. I didn't know what you called them. I didn't know what they were. So I was like, I felt like nervous. I was like, I'm so sorry. If I can't talk to you, that's fine. But my name is Pierce, and I'd like to join the church. He was like, okay, you can call me whatever. My name is Father JP. He was great. And, he got me in touch with the RCIA program there. And so from that point,
literally like that.
Yeah, immediately.
Okay. Now, leading up to this, were you having conversations with family?
They aware? No. The only person that knew was at the time my girlfriend, who was also Calvinist. Okay. And we were engaged at the time. Like mm-hmm. I just proposed and I was like, hey, by the way, I think I'm going to become Catholic. And she was not happy at all. She was very distraught. She's like, this is not going to be good. And I was like, I promise, like, I'll go to, you know, your church as well, but I'm going to go to Mass and I don't know what's
going
to happen.
It's like a really big Saturday night for you.
It was a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
And with that, I then immediately told my church that I was going to my Calvinist mm-hmm. church. And I said, hey, something happened and I'm going to do this RCIA program. And I'm just going to learn about the faith, but I'm kind of contemplating going to become Catholic. Mm-hmm. And Blake also went as well.
To RCA?
No, he told them, he's like, I'm not coming back. He was, again, he's fire and brimstone guy.
Yeah.
He was much more explicit. He's like, I am done here. I'm not coming back. You guys are liars. And I was like, I just need to talk to you guys and let you know. So they didn't know what to do. And they were, again, super loving, all the elders. But they told us, this is a heresy. This is going to mm-hmm. excommunicate you guys. And you're going to have to be told about that. Like, the whole church is going to find out that you're going to be excommunicated.
Right.
And I was like, please don't tell my family that. And they said, no, we're going to do it. Because my family, again, they're not academically inclined theologically. There's nothing wrong with that. I love them, but they're going to hear that I'm going to go to hell.
Right.
And they're going to be terrified, and rightfully so.
So wait, the elders at your church can just decide that you're excommunicated? That's how it works?
Yeah, 100%. And again, I understand it because they do believe that the Catholic Church is not a Christian group. So what we did every time I'd go to RCIA, inevitably I'd meet with them, one or all of the elders, and have
to talk about what you learned at RCIA.
And then to debate.
Was it a good RCIA program?
It was great, 100%. Oh, yeah.
They're hit or miss, right? I mean, I've definitely heard some
I'm sponsoring
stories.
A few people right now, and it is hit or miss, but I will say Christ the King's RCIA program, I guess it's OCIA now, but they're super great.
Awesome.
And the leader there, Bernadette, that's over it, she's amazing. So I was, thankfully, all of my Calvinism that I had studied, all of the stuff that I had done to try to disprove Catholicism mm-hmm. with these guys in the group chat, everything led up to where I knew all of the rebuttals to the faith. So we would have these meetings and they would quote to me one section of Council of Trent and justification that everyone that's reformed always uses. You know, if you believe in faith without works, let him be anathema mm-hmm. or let him be, you know, they thought in the Calvinist circle, that means damned to hell, they thought.
Right.
So I would say, let me read something to you. And I'd read section 5 or section 9 and they'd be like, we completely agree with this. And I'm like, that's what that says. That's what the Council of Trent says in its full context. They're talking about what Martin Luther thought of faith without works, which is you can be saved and you can live like the demon that you are and you're going to go to heaven. And they were like, oh, okay. And so we had these really good conversations and it slowly over time went from them not believing that I was Christian anymore to at the very end. Oh, by the way, I forgot this part. On the group chat, when I finally told the guys, hey, something happened in Mass, I think I'm going to tail between my legs, I think I'm going to convert. then this priest popped up that was there the whole time,
just quietly watching,
not said a word at all. Yeah. Named Father G. He's now in Rome. He was in Our Lady Perpetual Help for years. He was a great priest there, and he's in Rome now. He said, "Hey, my name is Father G. I've been here the whole time, letting the minions kind of take over slowly but surely." He said, "If you have any questions, I'd love to like talk with you." That was the most humbling thing, is he heard me say all of these things,
awful things, horrible things
about the church, and not once felt inclined to even lift a finger, because his buddies that were going to his church had it taken care of. Because imagine this, they were really well studied and they knew their scripture and they knew their church history. So I started going to like evening vespers with them. I started going to mass sometimes over there just to like
with talk the guys to this. From the group chat. You can start to be their friends.
100%. Yeah. And again, the first, that reentry was really awkward, where I was like, "Hi, it's me. I was the guy yelling at you for a few months.
I called the Pope the Antichrist and said, you're all part of the poor Babylon. Good to see y'all.
Good to see you guys." Yeah. And after all the RCIA was kind of coming to a head and I was going to be confirmed soon, I told them at the church that I was going to go through with this. Mm-hmm. And I had to write a statement of faith in response to the church that I went to's statement of faith.
The Calvinist church. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. And so with that, when I gave it to them, keep in mind, the whole time, though they're excommunicating me, they are really upset about this. They are a loving group of guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are well-intentioned. They do believe that they have to do this. And it ended with, from what I told them about my statement of faith, they could not say in good conscience that I was a heretic or an apostate. They had to say that, obviously, I can't stay at this church as a member because I don't hold to their statement of faith. Mm-hmm. But they could not say anything that would make them, nothing I said made them believe that I was going to hell for being an apostate.
Well, that's nice.
And I said, "That's so interesting you say that. I've been quoting the Catechism of the Catholic Church for all of this."
Whoa.
And so it was great because I was like, "Maybe you guys can come back. You know? Maybe you guys can come with." And they were like, "No, we're fine." But they were still loving guys, and I still talk to a few of the elders to this day. They're very good guys.
Oh, praise God.
Man. So I did get publicly told about to the church that I was no longer a member because I was joining the Catholic Church.
Right.
But they made sure not to say that I was a heretic or an apostate. They actually ran what they were going to say by me just to let me know what I was going to expect. And
it's the kindest way ever to be kicked out of a church.
It was like very nice. Yeah. And again, they were great people. I will say, before that, when I thought I was going to be excommunicated, is when I finally like, quote, came out to my parents as Catholic.
I really want to hear that story.
It felt like I was telling them I was gay in the 80s. I was terrified. I was sweating. Yeah. I was like, "Please," like, I spent like an hour giving the foreword. I'm like, "Before I tell you this, I've studied this. I've thought deep about this." And my mom was who I was concerned about. My dad could not have cared less. He's like, "Yeah, I don't care. I was baptized Catholic." That's when I found out. I was like, "Why didn't you tell me that?" And so my mom listened to me tell everything. And then she finally just was quiet for a second. And I remember hearing her say, "Catholics aren't Christians."
Mm-hmm.
So I was super scared. And she said, "You are clearly searching for God. Like, I see it in your life. I see it in what you're studying. I see it when you're constantly going to one of these millions of churches you go to."
Yeah.
"And God is truth. So if you're searching for truth, you'll find God. And I don't know how you got here, but God's leading you here. So you got to do it." And dude, I just broke down again. I was like, "Okay, this is, I don't need to care about anything else." Like, girlfriend or fiance at the time, the church that I was going to, like, my mom was like, she had my back.
Right.
And so I was super excited about that.
Dude, as long as you got mom, what else do you need?
Dude, mom's killing it.
I'm telling
She's killing it, dude.
Love a mom.
Yeah. And so she actually, her side of the family came to my confirmation.
Okay.
And got
when
to see
me. Did you
come in? I came in February 4th this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'd like been going for a year prior, because when I met Father JP and he told me about RCIA, they were already halfway through.
Right.
So I visited a few classes, met Bernadette, became pretty regular at Christ the King. And then, yeah, this past year, I guess this year, February 4th, yeah, I became Catholic. So it was great.
Dude, congratulations. That's a really awesome, great story. Yeah. I love
that. Thank you.
I want to take a moment real quick. So all of the people that Pierce has mentioned today, I really hope that you're listening, and I hope that you can comment down below some of the disagreements that you have with Pierce so that we can have an opportunity to maybe respond to those in the comments. And I know that you have somebody in mind that has said a lot of the things that Pierce has said today that you think would be a great counter argument to them. So send them this. Hit that share button. Send it to them. If you're listening, pull over your car. Don't text and drive. Don't use electronics while driving. Please, we do not endorse that here. We do not want to be held liable for that, of course. So, yes, let's get this story out there because this is humongous.
Yeah, if you or anybody you know is ever interested, I think we've floated this out there before. If anyone wants to come in here and discuss why we're wrong, we'd be happy to have that conversation on there as well.
Yeah. If Bernadette is who I'm thinking of, she's a young adult there at Christ the King.
I believe so, yeah.
I would love to have her on the show. I believe I've met her many times. If you know her really well, Invite her out. Yeah.
So we're almost out of time, but yeah. I do want to hear this. This is going to make whoever has to edit the show frustrated with me.
We're just going to go to break then from radio, and then if you're watching on YouTube, we'll stay on. But so we'll close.
Oh, fantastic!
Radio. Sweet.
All right. Well, hey, listen, this has been fantastic, Pierce. I appreciate you coming on the air.
Thank you, man.
And once again, Conversion Stories just they get me every time. They speak to my heart. I praise God. Praise God for His mercy and for His. We're all prodigal sons at the end of the day, in some ways. So it's pretty fantastic. But that's about all the time we've got for today. I think we'll see. Hopefully, we had some spicy stuff happen there with the audio visual. But I think that's all we got for today.
That's where we're at with radio. And if you're listening, we're not really supposed to do this, but yet come and check us out on YouTube. You can finish the last few minutes that we're gonna close out here. But we do appreciate you guys listening on the radio too.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Over and out.
You're supposed to say signing off.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.